Well, thanks very much, Mark, for your kind words of welcome. Thank you, everybody, for inviting us here. For those that don't know us, my name is John Fraser, and my wife, Evelyn. And we both come from, many years ago, from Inverness. We were born in Inverness and grew up there. And since then, we've been in various places. And at the moment, we're living in Ireland, just north of Belfast, in a place called Jordanstown. It's about, if you think of Belfast Lough as a sea loch and it's a horseshoe, Belfast is in the bottom of the horseshoe, and we're slightly on the north side. It was a great privilege to be here during March and to stay for a couple of nights here and have the joy of having a word of testimony here. And it was such a great blessing to my own soul to, first of all, one day at Westminster Bridge, just where the atrocity took place, just exactly where the atrocity took place. Looking on to the Houses of Parliament and Big Ben, and as it being the seat of government, very much on my heart, because there all the decisions for our nation is made, and something of the wonderful heritage that our nation has been over the years has been a burden to me. And it was there when I was giving out tracts that I saw Mark standing there with his bike, and I noticed that he had missed at least twice or three times the green man, and he could have cycled on. And I thought, well, I must go over and speak to him. And offered him a track. And he said, oh, he says, I'm very pleased to know you and to witness your work. And also, he says, I'm a pastor. And since then, things have just mushroomed. It's been wonderful. We'll cover one or two of these thoughts as we speak tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we thank you for the hymns that we've been singing. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the opening of hearts here. And we see the struggles in life, of living the Christian life. But we know that we must always rejoice in you. Rejoice in your strength. Rejoice in all that you've done for us. All that you've done for us. All that you do in us. And praise God, all that you are willing to do through us. And we pray that your word would come to us afresh tonight. We pray for your word to come down from heaven through the pages of Holy Scripture. We pray for the gracious assistance of your Holy Spirit to open the word to our hearts. And we pray that that word would find a dwelling place within our souls in such a way that praise and adoration and worship would go full circle back to you and to your glory. So hear our prayers, and we ask it for your dear Son's sake, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, the word that God gave me, Mark, I said, you're coming to London. It's lovely. It would be lovely to see you. Would you share a word? And so the word that the Lord gave me is in Psalm 46. And I want you to turn to that now. Psalm 46. It's the great psalm of Martin Luther, Infestaborg, a mighty fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. a bulwark never failing, our shelter he amidst the flood of human ills prevailing. He is a mighty fortress. And it was Luther in the Dark Ages and the beginning of the Reformation that he found strength in this psalm. And we're going to look at this psalm tonight. And I had the privilege and the blessing of ministering the word today at Stroud Green. And we'll cover more or less the same ground. And you see there at the beginning of the psalm, it's by the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah were the descendants of Korah, who was the leader of the tribe, who was directly related to Levi. And if you turn to Numbers there, Numbers 16, you'll see there the history of Korah. Korah and others rebelled against Moses and said, "Moses, you've gone far too far with all your laws, with your jurisdiction, with your leadership. You've gone far too far. The people just can't take in what you're..." And they rebelled against Moses. And of course, God, Moses, being a man of meekness and strength, and knew and was able to detect right away the smell of the enemy, the deceit there. He fell on his face before God. He humbled himself and said, "Lord, they're not rebelling against me." And that is really the essence. The sister there was speaking about the difficulties at work and people that tell lies to try and accept our modern society, I suppose. But they're not, just like Moses, they weren't rebelling against Moses. Moses wanted out of it. He said, "They're rebelling against you, Lord." And that's where our strength is. When people rebel against us, we don't take it on the chin. We bury ourselves in God and say, "They're rebelling against you, Lord." And that's exactly what Moses did. He fell on his face and God showed him. He says, "Moses, in the morning, I'll pass judgment." And of course, we know the story that Moses said, stand back from Korah. Let Korah be what he was. And the ground opened up and 250 of them went down alive into the ground under God's judgment. But God was gracious. And God was gracious. He let the line of Korah live. And here we have that today in this psalm. So let's read. "God is our refuge and strength, and ever..." And the word "ever" is eternal. It embraces everything. He is the unchanging one. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He ever. And get that eternal dimension into your heart, that God is forever. "An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." And here's the reason why. "Though the earth give way like Korah, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging." There is a river, the provision of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place. We've been reading about how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. God's got a dwelling place. And he wants us to dwell in it and not to move away from it. He plants us in this dwelling place. And it says, makes glad the city of God. You see, there's gladness in that dwelling place. We've been singing about it. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And the dwelling place is safe, it's secure. It's a city that's built by God to withstand everything that this world can throw at us. See that? The holy place. It's a separate place. It's holy. It's separate from the things of the world. Yes, the people can dwell in all sorts of things. They can fill their stadiums with football. They can fill their golf courses with golf. They can fill their race courses with people. But it's where God has built, and dwelling in Him is the holy place. It's separate from the things of the world. And it's distinctive. Where the Most High dwells, God is within her. That's where we meet God, in that dwelling place. That's His habitation. And He calls us to it. God is within her. She shall not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Even before the light, even before the birds sing in the morning, God is there ready to help His people. My dear sister, you were talking about finding strength in God. Even before the birds start to sing the dawn chorus, He's there. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, He lifts His voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And then there's this wonderful invitation, come and see the works of the Lord. Come and appreciate it, come and understand it, come and grasp, come and take it in. The works of the Lord, look how He works, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then the rest, be still and know. Understand, open your souls to that knowledge that God can do all these things on our behalf and has done them. And then the exaltation. I will be exalted in the earth. Our eyes are lifted up. Lifted up away above the things of this world. And all the doubts and fears and helplessness of our leaders in this nation. Lifted up to Him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I will be exalted in the earth. And the end of it, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The book ends is, the first book end is verse 7. And the final book end is verse 11. So what are we to say about all that? Well, simply I'll give you four headings, simple. They all start with R. The first one is, He's our refuge. He's our refuge. A refuge in the midst of the storm. He's our refuge. The second one, there's a river. A river of life. A river flowing with purpose and power from God's throne. A river. The third one, there's a rebuke. Verse 8. Come and see the rebuke of the Lord against evil. Come and see it. Come and grasp the rebuke. His determination. And the determination He gives us, dear sister, and others to stand against all the wiles of the evil one. And finally, there's a rest for the people of God in the exaltation of Christ. That rest of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So So the first thought would be to turn to Deuteronomy, and you see there. Now, of course, the psalm is a picture of David's life, isn't it? He's king, and he's well on in years, but God's giving him victory. God's giving him victory. All the enemies, Philistines on one side, the Moabites on the other side, up in the north, right round Jerusalem, God has given David victory. He gave him, and you read that through the words of Samuel in 2 Samuel chapter 8. You'll see there all his enemies being slain. How David got victory after victory after victory. And it's a picture, or David's victory is a picture of Christ, David's greater son Christ, and his victory, how he disarmed the powers of evil, how he worked on the cross, what he did, quite simply, what he did for us, what he does in us, and what he does through us. What he does on the cross, he satisfies the justice of God against sin. That when Christ died and paid the penalty for sin, he was dying the double death. Death of death and hell's destruction. Death of death and hell's destruction. That's what, it's a double death. It's not only a physical death, it was an eternal death that he was dying. Death of death and hell's destruction, the hymn says. What Jesus did, we'll never understand. How he brought the devil to heal, we'll never understand it. What he's done for us, what he does in us, the Holy Spirit takes that death and applies it to our life so that we begin to die with Christ to the things of this world so that we live towards God. What he does in us, and then after what he does in us, he does through us. The Holy Spirit then empowers us and strengthens us to live in lives that are transformed in such a way that people say, I want that life. I want that life more than anything else. That person can stand. That person can face. That person has joy. That person has strength. I want that life. And they're attracted to it. Andrew, first of all, found his brother and brought him to Christ. And so we read there, so the psalm's about David. And you know the story of David with the sling and the Philistines, and that was only a taster. What God would do for him and in him and through him later on. That was only a taster. And he was God's man. He was God's man. And we were talking about him, the writing the psalmist wrote about the eternal God is thy refuge. Look at Deuteronomy 33 and what Moses said at the end of his life to the tribes of Israel that he had brought through the desert, that he had brought across the Red Sea, that he had labored for, that he had loved, right to the very part of going into Canaan. He said in Asher, blessing the tribes, he said, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting. God is our refuge and strength. That's what Moses said. And we know how difficult Moses was, that God loved him and cared for him in everything. And he was David's refuge. Look at Psalm 142 and verse 5. What does that say? This time was David was being hounded by Saul, He wasn't king yet. He had been anointed by Samuel, and Samuel had his eye on David all through. He knew Saul. Saul was disobedient. He wouldn't honor God. He wouldn't work. He wouldn't listen. He was his own man. He was proud. He was deceitful, and he became a murderer, and he hated David. He hated the life that David had, the simple life of trust. And it's the same in the world today. Yes, we'll face hatred because people can't emulate your life. But your life must yet shine. And David was in the cave there in first. And look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. When he was in the cave, hiding from Saul, God was his refuge. And God was in the midst of the earth. He was in a cave. He was deep down. Thousands and thousands of tons of rock, like being in the underground of the Victoria Line. You go way, way down, don't you? And he was in the cave. And look at what verse 4 it says. Look to my right and see, Lord, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. He was alone. He was helpless. But there was a window. There was a window in the rock. He saw right up to heaven, to God. He saw by faith. And we read in the psalm about fear, that we're to rise above fear, above all the tumult that's about, the rebelliousness of nature. We've to look by faith, and faith in God, and God gives that faith. Have faith in God. He gives that faith to look away above all the fears to heaven. He says, I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. I have no refuge down here. And everybody hates me. But it was in that understanding of just being alone, but you are my refuge. Isn't that wonderful? You are my refuge. What's a refuge? Look at all these troublesome times that we're going through. The city, Borough Market, Parsons Green, Westminster Bridge, the attacks of the enemy. The attacks of the enemy. The enemy's outside and attacking Britain. We stand for a certain amount of democracy, but other nations hate it. Just like all the nations round about David and Jerusalem, God was in the midst of her, but the other nations hated. But God was his refuge, and he found strength there. He found strength. You are my refuge. My portion in the land of the living, eternal life. My portion in the land of the living. Oh, that Britain would again become alive to the things of God. Oh, that the livingness of Christ would be again in our schools and in our universities, our colleges, and into industry, in our health service. Nurses used to be able to go and pray with the patients. It was an opportunity for Christian nurses to serve the Lord in the wards. But now there's so many restrictions. Do you see that? Do you see? Begin to see the difference that the psalm can do to our lives. You are my refuge. That's the first thing. In the midst of it, in the midst of the earthquakes that's going on in Bali just now, and the fact that this storm Brian is on its way, and Irma and all the rest of it, people had to flee to a place of refuge, fill their cars up. Florida, the Everglades, and what have you. You'd almost think that the whole world is falling apart. But as Christians, He's our refuge. He's our refuge and strength. And strength, not only a place of safety and security, not only a place that we can look out and see the enemy at work, but also find strength to deal with it from our strong tower. Amen. Have you found a refuge in Him? Have you found your soul saying, Lord, oh, let me know how safe I am in You. And the victory of looking out in a needy world and from that find strength to live for Him. What about the river then? So that's the first one, the refuge. What about the river? There is a river. Look at London. The last time I spoke, we were talking about rivers. And look at London with the Thames flowing through it. Evelyn and I went down to see Tower Bridge and we walked round the tower and all the rest of it. And of course the tide was out, and it's not so nice when the tide's out, when the river's flowing. But look at the river. It said, there is a river, as if to say, it's got to be found. God's challenging us here tonight and saying, have you found the river? Have you found it? There is a river, as if to say, there's something there, but you haven't found it yet. There is a river of provision whose streams make glad the city of God. You see, the fact that there was gladness because we did not fear, and we're glad to be in the refuge. But here's the gladness of the city that God has prepared and furnished. How lovely is thy dwelling place, we were singing. How lovely it is. How strong, how secure, how faithful you are, God, to prepare a dwelling place, not only for our earthly pilgrimage, but our eternal souls. Makes glad the holy place. It's absolutely separate. The world doesn't know anything about this. The BBC can have their programs. They can have their programs of immorality. They can have their programs of mixed marriages. They can have their programs of gender and all the rest of it. All the confusion that's coming into relationships. All the breaking of homes. The helplessness of drugs and so on. But there is a river. The streams make glad the city of God. There's a provision there. And there's refreshment there. And there's strength there and power there to be different and to be lifted up. That you're lifted up away above things of this world. That you don't need them. And that you've got something better to give. Something better to live for. God is within her. She shall not fall. She'll stand forever. She'll stand forever. This city is built. Glorious things of thee are spoken, says the hymn. Zion, city of our God. Thee whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for thine own abode. And His abode, and those that He has drawn into the city. Wonderful. Wonderful. The river of refreshment. And the help that's there. His help. There's so many things today in our society. Care for the elderly. But it's not real care. It's almost as if it's disappearing the real meaning of care. care for the body, yes, but what about care for the soul? What about our whole makeup before God, made in His image and remade again in the image of His Son? Not only made, first of all, in Adam, and Adam pulling the whole of creation down with him, but the second Adam, a rescue came into the fight to remake us. To remake us again in His image by the Holy Spirit. To open our minds and hearts to His help and concern for us. God will help at a break of day, an ever-present help in trouble. Yes, as we said, before the birds start singing, and they love the morning. They love to see the light. They hate the darkness of, yes, they've had rest. They tuck their heads under their wings and they see. But when the light shines, oh, there's a beautiful chorus. When the light shines, the little birds whistle and they sing, and I'm sure they're singing praises to their Maker. And this is what the psalmist says, yes, even before the birds sing, a break of day, instantly, God will be there to help us. So there's the river and there's refreshment. There's the refuge, there's river and refreshment. There's the rebuke. Look at that. Nations are in uproar. There's the rebellion of sin. That's the troubled sea that's below us. All this equality that's coming up from above, from below. Thinking that's swallowing up industry, that's swallowing, paralyzing our nation, paralyzing working man, that he's got to adhere to all these things. The stresses that's been put on the home, children is no longer mother and father, and children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. That's under attack today. Because the devil hates order. He's full of disorder. He's a restless being. That my God says there's no peace to the wicked. And he is the wicked one. And he's restless. And he brings so much restlessness up from below into our society. And society knows. And it becomes restless too. It's surging. It's going all over the place. And we have no sort of stability in our land. And it's all coming up from below. And the church sometimes is confused. We need God's word. We need to see in this psalm that the nations are in uproar. If I could turn to Psalm 2, it says there, the nations conspired against the Anointed One and His Holy One. But God laughs in heaven. And it's the laughter of heaven that we've got to realize. God laughs at the devil and his uproar and the confusion he causes. You see that? He lifts up his voice. The earth melts, as if to say, like he did to the disciples in the boat. The poor disciples were there. They were trained men. They were fishermen. They were no novices at that work. They had seen the squalls. They had seen heavy seas on the lake. And they'd come through it. They were trained men. But they had never seen anything like the storm that was when Jesus was on the boat. They never, because it was the devil. There was a demon in the lake. He was stirring up. Like the surging sea today. It's coming up from below. And it's only prayer. And it's only the power of the cross. Evelyn and I was up in Inverness. And we were just having a walk along the river. And I said, I must go up there to that old high church. And I discovered there a placard, and it said, that mound on the east side of the river, the last church before the river goes to the sea, that church was built on the place where St. Columba in 536 preached to King Brude, who was the king of the Picts. And the Romans came, but they couldn't conquer Scotland. They couldn't conquer the heathen of Scotland. They were far too strong for them. They were far too artful in their evil, that the Romans had to build a wall, Hadrian's Wall, between Scotland and England. But the word of God changed King Brude. And within 50 years, the stone images that they worshipped, and we saw one at Gerloch, a stone pillar with fish on it and animals on it and writing on it, pictures of trees that the Picts worshipped, the things of creation. They knew nothing about God. But the cross appeared within 50 years. Stone crosses appeared all over Scotland because people had turned to Christ. And the cross was, the work of the cross in their lives was so powerful that they had to leave it for their children to see it. Stone was the only thing that would stand time, and the crosses appeared, and they're all over these Celtic crosses. So what we're saying here is that the difference, and he rebukes. I must carry on very quickly. Look at verse 8. There's an invitation here, isn't it? God says, yes, the refuge is there. Flee to me for refuge. I'll be your refuge and I'll be your strength. Take that on board. Then there's a river there, a river of refreshment, a river of life flowing. This is the river of life, surely. If you turn to Psalm 1, we'll just have a look at that just for a moment. And it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. It's a retardation, isn't it? He's first of all standing. He's first of all walking. Walk. He's then standing, and then he's sitting. Sin binds and stops movement and paralyzes. Sin actually entraps and fetters us. That's the way of the sinner. But look at the difference. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by a river. Through God's word, he sees that there's a river of life in God's word, and he meditates on it day and night. It's precious to his soul. He wants that river to flow through his life to others. Did you ever think of God's word as a river? The truth of God living in you, like a river of life, like the Thames flowing all the way from Cotswolds into the North Sea. A river. You think of any city today that hasn't got a river flowing through it. It's by the river that cities were built. Glasgow, the Clyde, Dundee, it's beside the Tay. Inverness, it's got the Ness flowing through it. And so our lives must be like a river of refreshment to a needy soul. So the river, and then the rebuke. And he says, come and see the works that the Lord has done in his rebuke, and how he deals with evil. And so we mustn't try and fight evil, or we mustn't try and stand up against an ungodly world, a world that hates Jesus with platitudes or anything like that. We've got to see the strength of the Lord. We've got to see how he deals with it. He dealt with it on the cross. And he deals with it in our lives. And when we see the victory in our lives, we can see the victory in other people's lives. We can see the word of God not only living through us, but taking effect with other people. Other people looking for the river. And the word of God flows through us. And we see how God deals with it. Look at it says, he breaks. Look at the verbs. He makes wars cease. It's all activity, isn't it? He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. That's the answer to our modern age today. He makes wars cease. Look at Korea. Pray for North Korea. North Korea hates the gospel. King John Young puts Christians to terrible torture in his pride. He's a tool of the devil with his rockets and the fear that he's been. Pray for him. The power of prayer, I believe, can deal with. I believe that something's going to happen with North Korea that is going to be a Korah condition. That the earth is going to open up and all his rockets are going to go. I believe that the power of prayer can deal with that. I believe that the only way that they can get the gospel in North Korea is by the wind. There was two girls, Christian girls, came from North Korea. They work and you can't get into North Korea. But you know what they do? They take balloons, blow them up. And they tie texts to them. And the wind then blows them in. King John Young can do nothing about the power of nature. And we pray that his window will be open. And someday a balloon will come and land on his bed. He'll say to himself, what on earth is this? And God will convert his soul and change it. The wind of the Spirit. You see, he makes wars cease. He breaks the bow. That's determination. He breaks the bow. He hates wars and rumors of wars. He said that. But he wants his church to rise above it. Above. The only war that we've got to fight is the war against evil. Fear him, ye saints, and ye will then have nothing else to fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we fear him, every other fear will disappear. He breaks. So that's the rebuke. The same as he rebuked the waves. He rose in the boat, didn't he? And he said, peace be still. Peace be still. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and waves obey him. What manner of church would rise again in Britain? That the waves would... Peace be still. Peace. Peace. Perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. And finally, the rest. The rest that we turn to, be still. That's really to the nations, just to the demon in the lake. Be still, be still. Down! As our minister in Aberdeen used to say, he's in glory now, dear Mr. Still. But for 52 years he ministered. And he used to say, down, peacock feathers. Down. To Satan. Pride. God cast him down from heaven. Read Isaiah 14, is it? Lucifer fell. So, yes, and he also says to his church, he stands in the midst of his church and he says, be still and know. And know, understand, open your souls, grasp. Let the Holy Spirit open your mind. That lovely hymn, "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that only knows the blood, only knows the blood so freely shed for me." As if to say, that heart appreciating the blood can keep it clean and can keep it free, and the river can flow through it. It knows it. It knows where to turn to. It knows not only the refuge, it knows not only the river, the refreshment, it knows not only the rebuke, but it knows the rest that God can give and the assurance. Be still and know. And why do I close with the bookends? Well, look at verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And look at verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's the bookends that embraces his work. And we know all the story of Jacob and his wrestling with God. He wrestled with God. God gave him strength. He says, "Jacob, I'm going to bless you. Oh, will you bless me, Lord? I'll not let you go unless you'll bless me. I'll wrestle till the break of day. I'll wrestle on." And God gives us strength to wrestle with him so that... And what was it that Jacob saw? He saw the face of God. He said, "I have seen the face of God and lived." He came out of that with his face shining. And when he looked at Esau, he saw God's face in Esau, his brother who hated him, who had come to destroy him. And all his family, all his sheep, everything was saved. He saw the face of God. No man can look upon the face of God and live, God said to Moses, because Moses asked for that. "Oh, that I might see your face." And he says, no, "No one can look, but Jacob did." Jacob saw his face, and there was a reflection. Jacob's life was changed. Jacob, the God of Jacob is our refuge. God's face shining upon his church in such a way that it reflects his glory. And the whole of Britain could be changed. The whole of Britain could be changed. The BBC was founded on Christian principles, out of Scripture. Whatsoever is good, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is a good report, think on these things and publish these things. Look at the BBC today, dragging our nation down. Look at the papers today, the press, dragging our nation down. Yes, it's the Word of God. It's this blessed Psalm. Refuge, river, refreshment, the rebuke against evil, and the rest of seeing God's face. May God richly bless his word to our souls.